the question that the Sadducees ask is meant to show the weakness or the ridiculousness of the idea that human beings continue to live in their physical reality. That's not possible. And they give this big question to Jesus. And his answer here and in the other two synoptics is based on two points. First, you don't understand the power of God, and you don't understand the scriptures. It's rather a strong... What is he saying? He's saying, look, this is the Father's plan, that all who die in some sort of union with him will live forever, body and soul. That's the Father's plan. At that point, there'll be no need for reproduction, for procreation, because everybody will be alive. We don't have to replace ourselves, because nobody's going to die. So there's no need for sexual reproduction. That also implies that God has finished with the number of people who are going to live eternally with him. It's going to be no more. Think, when our minds are unclouded by all the things that distract us, and we see clearly that we need not have been. And here we are eternally with God. In a transport of happiness and joy we can hardly imagine. And we'll see how the mercy of God began in choosing to have us exist. What a mercy. We need not have been. There will come a time when there's no more procreation, no more reproduction, no more. And all those who have died seeking God's favor, accepting God's favor. Not everybody will, but all those who do will live as human beings in a human world. We're not going to float in the air. We're going to have a world. If you look at the very last chapter of St. Thomas Aquinas' work that's called the Summa Against the Gentiles, Summa Contra Gentiles, it describes the way God gives his being, his life, his light, even to the whole of creation, even the whole of material creation. And God's original plan is finally realized in a sublime way, because now the head of all that human glory is God himself, Jesus Christ. And so our Lord is saying here, you see, you don't understand. You've shortened the arm of God as though having bodies or being material is unworthy of God, or that he's not going to finish a plan. It also makes us think then about while we're here, how often do we think of where we're going? This gospel, this is incident, is placed by all the synoptics, as part of the series of conflicts that our Lord encounters when he's in Jerusalem. But according to their schema, he's only in Jerusalem once, which is a theological use of time and space. I mean, he was there more than once, as John already says. So, there's these series of conflicts. But then the church takes from those conflicts ones that are most apt to help us realize, you see, as the year grinds down, we enter winter, begin to look, hope for spring. We have, starting tomorrow, the feast of Christ the King. Christ, the returning King. And so, we think today, I am called to be in a transport of joy all of body, soul, all of me, forever. What a plan. What a plan. Do we often think of that? You see, God is not the God of the dead. So if he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and if he's our God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob must be alive. To be the God of someone means to take care of. Well, what kind of a God is it if he lets the people who invoke him disappear? When he declares himself the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or when in the Pauline letters he's called the God of our Lord, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's where you see what his Godhead is in regard to us. It's life. It's life. And so, see, the question that's being asked here is, well, if we're going to go on, we're going to go on living and marrying and being given in marriage. And no, no. That part of human existence is over. And to think, for all eternity, we're going to say, you chose me to exist. Pure mercy. You chose me to be with you. Pure mercy. You forgave my sins. You brought me in contact with other people who could preach the gospel to me, who could sustain me, who could correct me, who could help me, so that I didn't turn against you and become so hard of heart that I reject your offer of mercy. For all eternity, we're going to see that. And that's what the Lord reminds us of today. Every day, I don't know how many times a day we say, you know, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. And then, well, look, this is what, you see, they'll be like angels because they're children of God forever.